As you know, for the past month, we've been looking at some lessons that we could learn from who? John the Baptist. We've been looking a lot at John the Baptist. This morning, though, I want to start out with something that John the Baptist said to the crowd, because it will transition us right into the next series of messages we're going to be looking at. If you was in Sunday school this morning, you already know where I'm headed. But here's the deal. This morning we are going to begin a series of messages on the person of the Holy Spirit and how He relates to us. Now, as you know, John the Baptist, what was his job when he came? To be forerunner to Jesus. His God-given mission, his God-given job was to prepare the way for Jesus to enter into his public ministry. He was to introduce Jesus to the Jewish people. He was to let them know that he was their long-awaited Messiah. And so one day, while John was out at the Jordan River, we are told that he was preaching to the crowd, and he said to the crowd, he said, "I indeed baptize you with water, but he," speaking of Jesus, "will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." About 3 years later, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. He knows he's only hours away from being arrested and then crucified. And so Jesus has given his disciples some final instructions and teachings about some of the things that they would soon experience. And in those teachings, he said to his disciples, he said, "I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper," which is a reference to who? Holy Spirit, "to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." From there, Jesus is crucified, he's resurrected, and then that's where the book of Acts opens up. And so let's go ahead and get our Bibles out. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. When you get there, say, "Baptism of the Holy Spirit." That's interesting. Nothing like the various fluctuations in monotones. All right, we at Acts chapter 1. If Terry's there, everybody's there. Okay. Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 3. After Jesus' suffering, reference to his crucifixion, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Okay. On one side of the fence, there are those Christians that believe to be baptized with the Holy Spirit means that you will have some kind of ecstatic, experiential event that takes place, causing you to begin to speak in tongues. And even though the Bible never teaches it, they also believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that all Christians are called to seek God for. For the most part, those that teach that position is typically referred to as Pentecostals or Charismatics. And let me add this little side note to this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit's been going on for 2,000 years. The Pentecostal movement is only about 115 years old. Now, on the other side of the fence, you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where it is seen in a completely different light. That is the light I want us to focus on this morning. Understanding what it means to be baptized in the Spirit is extremely important if you ever want to understand the rest of the book of Acts, As a matter of fact, it is so important that in verses 4 and 5, Jesus commanded his disciples that they were not that they were to go back to Jerusalem and they were to stay there until they were baptized with the Spirit. And then Jesus adds down in verse 8, he adds this: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so here's what Jesus is saying. Guys, I've got some tremendous work for you to do for the kingdom of God. But you need to first be baptized with the Holy Spirit before you will ever be able to carry it out. The lesson here is this: apart from the intervention of the Holy Spirit, you or I, nor Grace Baptist Church or any other church, can do anything effective or worthwhile for the kingdom of God. See, God's work for Grace Baptist Church is always going to be a supernatural work that will require supernatural intervention. Now, having said all of that, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why is it so important? What is the purpose of being baptized by the Holy Spirit? Is the baptism of the Spirit the same as being filled with the Spirit? Let's begin by simply looking at the word baptize. Again, verse 5, Jesus said, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The word baptize here is used two times. Both cases has the same meaning. The only difference between the two is the object with which the baptism is done. One is done with the object of water, the other is done with or by the Holy Spirit. The word baptize in its simplest form means to immerse something. It means to dip something. Today we think of the word baptize or baptism to be a so-called religious term describing a religious ritual. But to the Jewish people of ancient times, the word baptize had a common meaning, especially in the garment industry. See, in relation to the garment industry, they would take a piece of cloth or piece of clothing and they would baptize it. They would dip it or they would immerse it into a dye for the purpose of changing its color. Throughout the Old Testament, there's numerous fabrics listed and their colors. For example, the curtains of the tabernacle, the curtains of the temple area, they were described as being either blue, purple, crimson, or scarlet. We're told that the kings, the people of royalty, they would wear purple garments. As a matter of fact, we're told that in the midst of Jesus' trial, the soldiers dressed him in a purple robe as a way of trying to humiliate him for claiming to be the king of the Jews. And so to get those colors, they didn't have a Walmart there in Jerusalem to run to, and so they would take, what they would have to do is take the fabric they had, they would baptize it into a dye, and they would get the color they needed. Now, that is baptism in its natural sense of the word. But obviously, when Jesus talked about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, he's talking about it in the spiritual sense of the word. Therefore, it is an invisible act on the part of God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an invisible act of God because it is something that takes place on the inside of us. And it happens the moment a person accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Scripture teaches that when a person places their faith in Christ, God sends His Spirit into their hearts. It is something that only God can see, but we know it happens because Jesus says it does. Now, let me say something here. Placing a piece of cloth in dye is more than just a simple act. It is an act of transformation. If you put a piece of white cloth into a bowl of purple dye, what color is it when you pull it out? That was a gimme, wasn't it? It comes out purple. See, what was once a white piece of cloth is now a purple piece of cloth. It was transformed from white to purple. And to take it a step further, not only was the cloth transformed from one color to another, it also takes on a new identification. For example, the piece of cloth you used to call white, you call it purple. White no longer defines it. Now, even though baptizing a piece of cloth in dye is a visible act of man, baptizing a Christian with the Spirit is an invisible act of God. The principles are the same. See, in the same way that a piece of cloth that has been baptized in dye takes on a whole new identification, a person who is baptized with the Holy Spirit takes on a whole new identification. They go from being identified as a sinner to being identified as saved by grace. You go from being identified as belonging to the world to one that is now belonging to the body of Christ. Your identity is changed. You no longer are identified as belonging to the kingdom of darkness. You now belong to the kingdom of light. You go from being identified as spiritually dead to becoming spiritually alive. You go from being identified as spiritually bankrupt to becoming spiritually rich. You go from being identified as headed to hell to headed to heaven. You go from being identified as a child of Satan to being identified as a child of God. Your identification changes. Now, you and I may not always be aware of those identification changes, but you can be assured that the spiritual forces in the supernatural world are aware of it. You can be assured that Satan knows your identification has changed. Now, as I said a moment ago, when a piece of white cloth is baptized into a dye, its character is changed. That is also true when we are baptized by the Holy Spirit, or with the Holy Spirit. See, before a person is baptized with the Holy Spirit, their character is described as unholy, unrighteous, prideful. But when we place our faith in Christ, when we're baptized with the Spirit, with that baptism comes character change. Following the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God sees our character to be like that of Christ's character, which of course is holy, righteous, humble. When that character change that gives us access, it's that character change that gives us access into the throne room of God when we pray. Something else that occurs when we're baptized with the Spirit, we're given security. In the book of Ephesians, we're told that at the moment the Holy Spirit baptizes us, He also seals us. He protects us so that our salvation can't be taken from us. We're told there in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. 1 Corinthians 12, we're told that at the time we are baptized with the Spirit, He gives us spiritual gifts, which we're to use for the promotion of the church. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they are from one body. They form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized with one Spirit into one body. What we learn from that is this. When we are baptized with the Spirit, we are inducted into the universal church of Jesus Christ. There is certainly a lot more that can be said about the baptism of the Spirit, but I just want to start this series off on the Holy Spirit with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the first step in a Christian becoming an effective Christian for the kingdom of God. Now, charismatics, Pentecostals in general, teach that the baptism of the Holy Spirit occurs sometime after salvation. Could be days, could be weeks, could be months, could be years. The Bible does not teach that anywhere. Charismatic and Pentecostals in general teach that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that Christians need to seek God for. But again, nowhere does the Bible teach such a thing. Charismatics and Pentecostals in general teach that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is evident in the speaking of tongues and other ecstatic experiences. Once again, the Bible does not support that in any way. Charismatics and Pentecostals in general believe that those who speak in tongues have been baptized with the Spirit and are therefore on a higher spiritual level than those who do not speak in tongues. That, folks, I call complete spiritual stupidity. Being baptized with the Spirit is something that takes place the moment a person asks Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. The moment a person is baptized with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, He comes, He takes up residence in that person's heart. At that time, they will receive all of the Holy Spirit that they can ever receive. We never have to ask God to give us more of His Spirit, because we already have all of the Spirit we'll ever have. The baptism of the Spirit is an invisible act of God where He adopts us into His family and places us in the body of Christ. When a person is baptized with the Spirit, they are given access to all of the various resources that God has for us that will help us live our Christian life the way He wants us to live. When the Holy Spirit takes up residence in a person's heart, He brings with Him new life. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." Upon being baptized in the Spirit, we start life all over. We've been born again. On top of that, He gives us everything we need to get it right. And one of the things God gives us when we're baptized with the Spirit is He gives us the power of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about that next week. Understanding the power of the Spirit that is available to you and I as believers, as a church, has the potential of changing your whole life from top to bottom. I want to begin to close this morning by taking a moment to mention Romans 8:9. Romans 8:9 says, "You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you." But then He went on to say, "And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ." Simply put, if a person has never been baptized with the Spirit, then they've never been born again, therefore they've never been saved, regardless of what they say, regardless of what they think, regardless of what they do. Proof of whether or not someone has been baptized with the Spirit is a changed life. It's changed priorities. If a person claims to be a Christian, yet their life is basically the same, there's no changes, the odds are pretty good they're still lost. Because see, when the Holy Spirit moves in, when He takes up residence in a person's heart, He will begin to make changes. Plain and simple. Folks, there is so much that we need to learn about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives, how the Holy Spirit works in churches. As you guys know, that was in Sunday school. Our Sunday school lesson this morning was simply you guys telling me about the Holy Spirit. I want to know what you knew. That will give me some insight maybe where to go in the weeks to come. It is absolutely crucial that we come to an understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, what His role is in our lives, what He brings to the table for us. Because as I said, it has the potential to change our lives from top to bottom. It's fair to say that understanding the Holy Spirit is as equal to understanding the Lord Jesus. So let me ask you this morning, have you been baptized with the Spirit? In a nutshell, here's what that means. Have you ever given your life to the Lord Jesus? Somebody mentioned in Sunday school this morning, we got to talking about when the Holy Spirit moves in, He gives us spiritual life. Prior to being born again, we are spiritually dead people. Physically alive, spiritually dead. When the Holy Spirit comes in, He brings spiritual life with us, or with Him. So my question is, can you say with absolute certainty that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? And if not, you can say that before you leave here today. How does a person have Jesus become their Lord and Savior? I've said this before, it's a very simple thing to do, but it's a very hard thing to do. It's as simple as saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you to come in my heart, forgive me my sins, and save my life. But it's hard because it calls for us to be humble. Have you ever humbled yourself before the Lord? Acknowledge your sin before a holy and righteous God. And said, Lord, I need you to forgive me. I have no hope outside of you. I need you to forgive me. I need you to be my Lord and Savior. Would you come into my heart and make me a new person? You can do that right where you sit right now. You can come up here. I can talk to you afterwards. You can do that on your way home driving down the road. And if from the bottom of your heart that is your wish, Jesus will forgive you of your sins. He will give you eternal life. And He will send His Spirit to take up residence in your heart and begin to transform who you were to who He wants you to be. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we come before You this morning. And talk about the person of the Godhead that we don't hear a whole lot about. Yet at the same time, He plays such a huge, significant part in the lives of Your people, in the lives of Your church. And so, Father, just a real basic message this morning, but I pray in the weeks to come that, Lord, You will teach us more and more about Your Spirit and how You work in our lives. We become more in tune with what You want to do in our individual lives and in the life of this church. And according to the book of Acts, when Your Holy Spirit is at work in Your people, the surrounding community will see it. They'll know it. They'll feel it. It'll be visible. And Lord, that's the prayer here. Lord, I ask You that if there's anyone in here, Lord, that does not know You as Lord and Savior, that, Lord, You would work at their heart today, bring conviction where needed, draw them to You for the salvation that You so lovingly and freely offer. And, Lord, I just thank You for all that You do for us, all that You've done for us, and all that You will do for us. In Christ's name,
Amen.